Right, time to talk cars with Chira de Siena of cars.co.za. That's the signal for you to start dialing in on 021-446-0567 if you've got a motoring question. And you're also welcome to send it as a voice note to 072-567-1567. Chira, you've been driving the Ford Ranger Stormtrack. That's a double cab buggy, yes?
Yes, hello, Pippa. So this is the 767th special edition of the Ford Ranger. No, I'm joking. I don't know what it is, but there's been a lot of them.
Yeah.
Stormtrack, after the Thunder, which arrives, is a bit of a theme, it seems, to their name, to their names. And in spite of myself, I mean, I've said on the show before, I think, that buggies are not my favorite format of motor vehicle, but in spite of myself, I actually really like the Stormtrack. I'm not sure. I mean, there's no mechanical difference between it and, say, you know, any of the other Ford Rangers. But it does have some sort of really nice aesthetic touches, one of which is this very special metallic red paint, which does cost you a bit extra, actually. It brings the car's pricing to $846,000. A little bit more than the Thunder, which is the other sort of top spec in the Ford Ranger range. And it's a sort of, it's just a very pretty paint, really. It's just a sort of very deep red. It's not too common on the roads. It's not too flashy either. It's a little bit subtle, but really sort of, I don't know, really unique, I suppose. Really sort of differentiates you from the rest of the buggies out there. So I quite like that aspect to it. The rest of it is fairly standard Ford Ranger fare. I like the Ford Ranger a lot. For me, it's of all the buggies, for me, it's the best riding buggy. It's the closest that you'll get to, say, an SUV feel out of a buggy. I've always quite liked the interior. The new infotainment system, Sync 4, I think it's up to now, is very advanced, and, you know, it's got all the bells and whistles that you might hope for in a sort of modern infotainment system. And I particularly like the seat. Very comfortable, okay. leather wrapped seats, yeah. So nothing really not to like, but yep, north of 800,000 rand for a bucky.
Sure, am I not mistaken in thinking there that the new Ranger is going to be built in South Africa from next year? Is this a kind of a quick squeeze in of something flashy before that hits the market? I'm sort of surprised at the launching of a limited edition model so close to a new one coming.
Yeah, so current Ranger is built here, new Ranger will be built here, and I suppose it might be an effort to sort of squeeze the last, you know, the last drops of juice out of this particular range.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's an oversupply issue. That doesn't seem to be the issue with Ford in that, you know, there's not like sort of stock lying around that they're trying to get rid of. I think what we're seeing here really is that Ford is, with their Ranger, is the only bucky player that can, that really has a significant chunk of the market behind the Toyota Hilux. And really, they're always trying to buy, to get that market share, to increase that market share, and grab some sales from Toyota. And I think that this sort of like onslaught of special editions is just a way to sort of keep the Ranger top of mind, keep it in the headlines, keep us motoring journalists writing about it.
Okay. So a 4-year, 120,000 kilometer warranty on the Stormtrack version and a 6-year, 90,000 kilometer service plan. As you said, the pricing upwards of 800,000K, that's a pretty steep price tag for some fancy styling. But there you go. Okay. Chira, I'm sure you did a bit of a double take as I did. We've spoken a lot about e-vehicles and how lovely the concept of e-vehicles is as a way into the future and how hugely problematic the challenge is in South Africa when we don't have a guaranteed electricity supply to keep them charged. I did have to smile a little bit to see the president committing earlier this week. We're prioritizing electric cars as one of the key strategies against climate change in the week that we went to level 4 load shedding again. Ouch for the timing. He was speaking, though, at the launch of a new production facility for hybrids, I think.
Yes, so Toyota South Africa has invested 2.6 billion rand into their Prospecten plant in KwaZulu-Natal, and they've uptooled it and retooled it for the for the building of hybrids. It's going to be the first serial production of a hybrid vehicle in South Africa, actually, which is quite cool.
Yeah.
And it's just great to see that level of investment going into our country. And it also explains why Toyota was so rattled when the KZN civil unrest struck, because, you know, they'd literally just finished putting in all of this money. And that really rattled them a little bit. So huge investment, and enough, obviously, to draw the president out of the union buildings and over to Durban to speak at the event. I'm quite excited about the hybrid technology that Toyota is bringing to the market, mostly because they've managed to bring it in at a price point which I find particularly impressive. So you'll be able to get a Toyota Corolla Cross, which is a sort of subcompact SUV. Think along, maybe it's a little bit smaller than, say, a RAV4.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to get one for 349,000 Rand. That's the base price. And you'll be able to get a hybrid for 413,000 Rand, which interestingly is cheaper than the Corolla sedan hybrid by 6,000 Rand. So, you know, when you consider that a top spec VW Polo with a 1 liter engine these days is 404,000 Rand, you know, you're getting a hybrid SUV with all the latest tech. And so the pricing for me is actually, it's hugely, hugely impressive. And it means that more and more South Africans will be able to afford hybrid technology. Yeah. And the thing about hybrids is they do get derided a bit for being maybe a little bit overcomplicated and maybe sometimes not even being as fuel efficient as, say, small turbo diesel engines. But the one key thing where hybrids really, what they've really got going for them is they have very, very low emissions. And I think in a world where we're trying to reduce our emissions, I think that's an important aspect of those vehicles and why they might play a bridging role between where we are now and where we're going to.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, the investment is good news. The 1,700 new jobs created at that plant, also very, very welcome news, given our unemployment figures. So yeah, it's a sign of hopefulness, Chira. It just feels a little bit uneasy having it all come in the week in which the power supply goes to hell again. But there we go.
I think I should point out that for those unfamiliar with Toyota's hybrid technology, the hybrid tech that is in the Corolla Hybrid and the Corolla Cross Hybrid is a self-charging system. It's a self-contained system. So just by driving around and coasting downhill, you recharge the battery. Oh. You never actually have to plug the car in. Yeah.
Okay, that's good news.
Yeah, so it's fully independent of Eskom, which is great, and it will keep you going. Obviously, you have to keep, you know, you do have to put fuel in the tank at some point. But I mean, to put it into perspective, the Corolla I was driving for a month averaged 5 liters to the 100, which translates to 20 kilometers for every liter you put in the car. So it was so nice to get in a car and see my range. My range said 1,000 kilometers,
wow,
you know, possible on this tank. And I don't know, just seeing four figures is psychologically, it's just, you just feel better about your car.
Okay. Thanks for the feedback, Chira. I suppose we could look on the bright side. If the president is genuine about the plan to prioritize electric vehicles as one of our strategies against climate change, then I suppose the incentive is there to sort out the electricity supply problems with that in view. Let's go for the high road here. Okay, Chira, moving straight along, we've got our first caller on the line with a question for you, and that is Ruth in Wynberg. Ruth, good afternoon.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. And you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
It's a pleasure. What's your question for Chira?
So I am looking for a delivery, a vehicle for my frozen berry business. And I'm looking at three different cars. I'm looking at a Chevrolet Bucky. And then I'm also looking at the Nissan NV200. And then I'm also considering a Volkswagen Caddy, the 2016 model.
Okay, Chira, what would you do between those three vehicles? Do they sound like they'd meet Ruth's needs?
So I'm going to make your life slightly more complicated and say I can add a fourth car to your list for you to take a look at, and that's the Opel Combo, which is similar in size and shape to the VW Caddy, but I think actually quite a bit better value in terms of your, you know, your sort of bang for buck. So that's an extra car I would look at. The Nissan NV200, I always felt that car was really made to a price. I don't know. Every experience I had in that car, it just felt very sort of, it didn't feel like that was Nissan's best product, if I'm honest. I'm not sure what the longevity on that car would be. I'd be a little bit worried buying into the Chevrolet brand, reason being that they have pulled out of the country. So increasingly, there's almost no doubt that parts are going to become an issue for you. That's not great in the long term. And then with the VW Caddy, I think that's always a solid choice. I mean, VW is not going anywhere. You're never going to struggle to find parts. What I would recommend, though, with the VW is don't go for the automatic gearbox, the DSG gearbox. Go for a manual.
Okay.
That DSG, especially if you're going to be doing a lot of miles and it's going to be working hard in traffic, DSG at some point, there's a high likelihood that it will give you some issues, and then it becomes a very expensive problem to fix. Without saying, exactly which one to choose, I hope that advice helps you, helps illuminate a choice for you.
Yeah, and it definitely does. I listen to your show religiously every Wednesday just to see if you could give some clarity on that. And I thought, because I'm at the point where I need to buy it now because, sales are picking up. So I thought, let me just put your phone in and see if you could shed some light on that. So thank you very much.
No problem. And congrats on the success of your business. Long may it continue.
Absolutely. You took the words out of my mouth. How lovely to hear a business on the upturn. Ruth, good luck. I hope the trajectory continues and hope you find a happy solution for the vehicle. Right. That was Ruth in Weinberg. You can do what she did. Call us on 021-446-0567 or do what Neil has done and send a WhatsApp rather to 0725671567. Neil asking, what's the difference between the Suzuki Brezza and the Toyota Urban Cruiser? They look very similar.
Yes, one has a Toyota badge on the nose and one has a Suzuki badge on the nose.
You've spoken about this before, but thanks for the reminder, Chiro.
No problem. It's that simple, and it's not that simple. There are slight differences. I think the Toyota comes with different wheel designs, slightly different front end treatment, and sort of the Brezza has a lot of chrome accents where the Urban Cruiser doesn't, but mechanically absolutely identical. They come out of the same factory in India, and then they stick different badges on the nose, basically.
Okay, thanks. And well spotted, yeah. Neil. You're absolutely right that they look like nearly the same vehicle because they are nearly the same vehicle. Okay, AJ is looking for a secondhand car for his daughter going off to university, probably looking at around about a 2018 or 2019 model, and is considering a VW Polo, Vivo, or the Toyota Etios. Which of those would you choose, is his question.
The Etios is, I'm really not a fan of that car. Again, just one of those products that just really feels made to a price. I take a lot of Ubers, and I always find that the Uber Etioses, they just seem like, I don't know, they've either lived a really, really hard life, or they just haven't been able to stand up to the sort of tortures of being an Uber car, you know, as well as the others have. I think I would steer clear of the Etios. The Vivo is a solid choice. It's best-selling car in South Africa. It's the most searched for car in cars.co.za, so you're never, ever going to struggle to resell it, which is a good option. I find myself recommending this brand a lot, but there's now two options. So Toyota bought the Suzuki Baleno and rebadged it as a Starlet in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And it's very new, so you're not going to be able to get a Starlet probably in the same price bracket. And they only came out, I think, 2020, so you're not even going to find a 2019 Starlet. But in my opinion, a Suzuki Baleno makes a really good secondhand purchase. In fact, I was sharing a ride with one of my colleagues today, and him and his wife are about to buy one, just because it's just such good value, just such good bang for your buck. And with a Baleno, if you buy the GLX spec, which is the top spec, then you are getting the sort of full suite of safety systems, including the electronic stability control, which I would recommend.
Okay, especially for a young driver who hasn't got that many years of driving under her belt, that's a really important. The safety features are so important. Chiro, thanks very much. And AJ, thanks for asking the question, because I bet there are a whole lot of parents listening today who are making the same kind of decisions right now with a view to next year, students going off on their own. So thanks for asking, and good luck with the purchase and safe driving to your daughter in whatever car you end up choosing. Chiro, we have to go for it.
Are we
We're almost
up,
out of time, okay. But very quickly, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I just for new parents with new drivers, or sorry, their kids taking up driving for the first time. I recently did a Volkswagen Advanced driving course up in Joburg, which obviously is a bit inconvenient for us down here in the Western Cape. Yeah. But if you are in Joburg, I would say it's highly, highly worth doing it, even as an experienced driver. Just the car control you learn, and what to do in the case of an emergency, and how best to control the car. I really think it was very, very worth it, and very much worth your time.
Chiro, thanks for that advice, and thanks for all the advice you share with our audience, who will find more from you on cars.co.za and the web, the YouTube channel. We'll chat again next week.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Keep well. Chiro de Siena of cars.co.za.